You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The V-Chip Follies. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
My topic this month is TV. In his 1987 book, Television and Religion, William Fohr tells the following story. Sherwood Schwartz writes and produces a number of popular television series, including Gilligan's Island, a comedy originated in the 1960s, in which a zany group of castaways manage to survive not only shipwreck, but each other. Schwartz tells of having received, in 1964, after 6 of 7 Gilligan's Island episodes had been on the air, a visit from a Commander Doyle of the United States Coast Guard. Commander Doyle presented Schwartz with a batch of telegrams, some addressed to Hickam Field in Honolulu, some to Vandenberg Air Force Base, some to other military bases. While the wording of the telegrams varied, they all in substance said the same thing. Quote, "For several weeks now, we have seen American citizens stranded on some Pacific island. We spend millions in foreign aid. Why not send one U.S. destroyer to rescue those poor people before they starve to death?" The telegrams were not jokes. They came from concerned citizens. Yes, indeed. People can be persuaded to believe the most preposterous things. You, of course, are far more discerning than those gullible people of the 1960s, but don't count yourself out of this message. Alan Mirabelli of the Vanier Institute of the Family in Ottawa, Canada, said that someone who spends too much time watching TV will begin to develop a perception of the world which is not real. I'm a TV watcher, but I sure don't want to be gullible. I want to know what's real, and I want to know when I'm being fooled. In my messages this month, I hope to impress upon you that TV often presents an unreal picture of life, whereas the Word of God, the Bible, tells it like it is. When this month's messages are over, it's my prayer that you'll realize anew that the psalmist is right on when he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Yes, indeed, a slick salesman can deceive any of us, and TV is slick. Take, for example, all the talk about sex and violence on TV and the much-ballyhooed V-chip. Almost everyone agrees that there's too much violence on TV. In 1994, the American Academy of Pediatrics found that the average American child will have seen 200,000 acts of violence by the time he reaches age 18. Author Joe Chidley reported last summer in McLean's magazine that many psychologists say that TV violence can lead to heightened aggression in the short term. Other research suggests that children who watch a lot of violence can become desensitized to real-world violence and less empathetic to the pain and suffering of others. Is this a legitimate fear? Roseanne Dyson, chairwoman of Canadians Concerned About Violence in Entertainment, says, "Television violence is eroding, scrambling up the value systems of children. Oh, absolutely." And almost everyone will agree that there's too much sex on TV. Ho-hum, prudes are always complaining about sex, right? Listen to this footnote, a small print footnote, from David Wells' 1993 book, No Place for Truth. A recent survey of clergy, who as a group rank significantly more conservative than laity in matters of sexual ethics, indicated that 20% of the respondents view pornographic matter at least once a month. If a significant percentage of the clergy are watching this garbage, we really have a problem on our hands. Tim Collings of British Columbia said, I came to the conclusion that sex and violence on TV does influence behavior. And so Collings invented the V-chip. It works like this. Television shows will be given a rating. You know how the movies are rated, PG for parental guidance, R for restricted, and so on. Most TV shows will be rated in a similar way. The V-chip makes it possible for parents to block out any types of programs they don't want their children to watch. Last spring, the Congress of the United States passed a law that the V-chip must be installed in new television sets. Good for inventor Tim Collings. Good for the V-chip. We need less violence and sex on TV. But still, I wonder. Remember Gilligan's Island? It's so easy to be deceived. I wonder how many of us parents will be able to activate the V-chip when we can't even program our VCRs. I wonder what's going to keep a child from seeing a controversial show at the neighbors. It's already been reported that at least one network is looking for a way around the V-chip legislation. Like they say, sex sells, and some power brokers are more interested in money than in moral betterment. So I wonder how realistic it is to imagine that the V-chip is going to improve the moral fiber of our younger generation. Let's have a little healthy skepticism here. Can a piece of technology alone stop our obsession with sex and violence? Can this device alone prove an adequate substitute for disciplined moral leadership from adults? Can the V-chip absolve you and me for copping out on our responsibility before God and our children to talk the talk and walk the walk? The answer to all these questions is a resounding no. If you imagine that there's a technological fix to this moral problem, then you've been duped by the V-chip follies. The heart of the moral climate today is not the TV, it's the human heart. Your heart, my heart, every heart. This garbage wouldn't be on TV, and it would not be watched if hearts weren't sinful. Jesus says in Matthew 15:18, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual sins, lies, slanders." Go ahead and put the V-chip in new televisions. But best of all, let's put the V-chip of God's Word in each human heart. The Word of God is realistic. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says that the Lord saw that every inclination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil. Now that's calling it the way it is. The Word of God doesn't cop out the way you and I so often do. We make our excuses, we blame someone else, we blame the system, or we believe a simplistic answer to a deep problem. The Word also points out the obvious fact that we can easily be deceived. After raising the issue of sexual sins in the Roman Empire of the first century, Paul in Romans 1:21 says that they did not honor him as God, nor did they thank him. Instead, their thoughts became total nonsense, and their ignorant hearts were darkened. You might think that your views on violence and sex are correct, but then again, maybe your heart has been darkened. How do you know you haven't been deceived? Only the Word, the objective, revealed Word of God, can tell you. It cuts to the quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "The Word of God is living and active. It cuts better than any two-edged sword. It penetrates until it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it can judge the inner thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature can hide from Him. Everything is uncovered and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." So why don't you pick up that remote control a little less this week and study your Bible a little more? It's a V-chip for your heart. The Bible leads you to confess the truth that the heart is indeed the problem. Your heart, my heart, every heart. "Wash me thoroughly from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin," says Psalm 51. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. O God, you do not despise a broken and sorrowful heart." And now here's the climax of today's message. The best thing about the Word of God is that it exposes the darkness of each heart in order that it might apply the great word of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, poured out His lifeblood on Calvary's cross as a payment for your sins. By depending upon His sacrifice, you have complete forgiveness for the things you have done wrong. Because of Jesus Christ, you have complete forgiveness for the thoughts you have had that are sinful. Sexual thoughts and violent thoughts may not be acted on, but they are still sinful. Through faith in Christ, they are forgiven. The blood of Christ makes clean the sinful heart. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Our hearts were sprinkled to take away our guilty feelings." This good news from God's Word is so much deeper, so much richer, so immensely more fulfilling and joyous than anything on TV or any technological attempt to solve our modern problems. That being so, don't be taken in by any quick fix that dodges the basic issue of our sinful hearts and God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Psalm 95, verse 7, "Today, if you hear Him speak, do not make your heart stubborn." Hebrews chapter 3, "See to it, fellow Christians, that none of you has a wicked heart which in unbelief turns away from the living God. Rather, encourage one another day by day, as long as today lasts, that none of you may become stubborn through the deception of sin." So why don't you commit yourself to using the Bible more and the TV guide less? Remember, it's so easy to be deceived. The full-page ad last spring announced that Taco Bell had purchased the Liberty Bell from the federal government in an effort to help reduce the federal debt. Later that day, White House spokesman Mike McCurry said, "I think some of you saw the beginning of our privatization efforts that were launched by Vice President Al Gore. We'll be doing a series of these things. Ford Motor Company is planning an effort to refurbish the Lincoln Memorial. It'll be the Lincoln Mercury Memorial." If they hadn't suspected it before, people came to understand that the Taco Liberty Bell was an April Fool's joke. It's so easy to be deceived. God wants purity in your heart, in mine, in every heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Keep your minds on all that is true, all that is noble, all that is right, all that is pure, all that is lovely, all that is appealing, on anything that is excellent or that deserves praise." That purity will not be installed by technology. The truth is that hearts are ultimately made pure before God by His Word, His law, which exposes and condemns sin, and His good news of the Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1988, lights were installed at Wrigley Field in Chicago. I'm told that the lights were assembled in a cinder block building in the area. When the lights were tested in that building, they were so strong that their brilliance shined through the cinder block walls, and their intensity made those walls too hot to touch. That illustrates the power of God's Word upon the human heart. A theologian named John Quenstedt said, "It is the intrinsic power and natural disposition of the divine word to persuade people of its truth, and it is never non-persuasive, except when its work is removed and impeded by a person's willful, self-determined stubbornness and natural resistance. So let us willingly and daily use that word. Let us put God's V-chip into our hearts. Jesus says, 'Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.'" Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.